Praise the Lord. It feels so good to be in God's house tonight. I love him, love his presence, and I love what he does for us on a daily basis. And I feel grateful tonight. And I hope you all feel the same way. Feel a heart filled with joy and excitement for what he's doing. Father, we just cover each and every person here in the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love that you have for us. We thank you for the plan and the purpose that you are moving us into in this season. We release your holy angels to go and touch each and every person that's here. Touch each and every person that's out there on the internet. We bind the second heaven resistance now, and we lift every person who's listening into the third heavens so that they can partake of what you have for us tonight. Father, we're just releasing our expectancy and our excitement for you to do great and mighty things in us and with us. And we give you honor for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about time is marching on. And I heard the following for the body of Christ, and I believe that this is exciting. Time is marching on, and my works shall be accomplished in the earth. That's good news. I have an agenda. I have a plan that I am fulfilling. My plan is bigger than America. It's bigger than the Democrats and Republicans. My plan is about world domination. God, our God. I am coming to conquer this world. It is written, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that my Son is Lord, and I am bringing this to pass. I am causing my Son to be glorified in this earth, and no man or woman can stop what I am about to do. Praise God. I am your Father, and my love knows no ends. It spreads higher than the highest heights. It goes lower than the lowest lows. The tribulations of this world are nothing in comparison to the torments that I have created in hell. Hell is a real place that I created for the devil and his angels. I never meant for man to be partaker of hell, but that is a choice that I cannot make for them. I have many wonderful plans for those who believe in me. Do you believe in him tonight? Then those plans are for you. I have many wonders that I am yet to reveal in the coming days ahead. I am not a ruthless ruler. I am not a tyrant. I am working many things at the same time to bring my people into the comforts that I have established for them. This is God doing this. My Son left this earth to prepare a place for each and every one of you. Those places are just about complete. I promise you, children, that you will be well pleased with everything that I'm going to provide for you in the not too distant future. Do not allow the enemy of your soul to stop you from coming forward in me. That's encouragement. Do not allow him to persuade you to quit. I am the victor here. And because you serve me, I am extending that victory into your camps on this day. I want you to see deep into the spirit realm. I want you to understand that I have been working for a very long time to bring all of my peoples into eternity with me, my Son Jesus, and my Holy Spirit. You cannot yet understand the fellowship and intimacy that I have planned out for each and every one of you. Every detail has been included in the preparations, and I have not missed one thing. We are going to have a glorious time in eternity, and children, you will fully understand my plan for your lives. The battle that is ahead is going to be fierce. I will not lie to you. You must know that you were handpicked by my Son for this hour, and I trust my Son just like he trusts me. This hour that you are in is going to be filled with many challenges, but my heart is connected to your heart, and we will go through every one of those challenges together. Do not be dismayed at what you see going on around about you. There will be more tragedies and more sorrows to come upon this world. But I have set these things in motion to bring about the end of this age and the beginning of a new one. This new age that is coming will be filled with peace, and I promise you no more wars, no more suffering. This harvest that I am bringing in through you will love me, and we will be a family like none other. And this is what God has been trying to do all along, to have a family, to have a people that love him, and we love him back. And it's a continuous circle. It really is a marriage. And when you look at God is married to Israel, and Jesus is married to the church. And there's a continuous flow of love that's supposed to constantly be flowing. It's not like a natural marriage. It really is a heavenly marriage in the spirit realm. So we're going to be experiencing, and we're learning how to do this now in this earth realm, constant intimacy with the Father. I feel like God wants to remind us of what his intentions are for this world. His plans include us. His plans include our comfort and well-being. His plans are perfect. Despite what we see and what we feel, he is God. He is. I must admit, I tried to do a Pastor Barber and reword the word domination. Couldn't do it. God is about domination, and this is a good thing. The reason that God is about domination is because he is on the move to subdue his enemies. Who are his enemies? Those who will not submit to his authority. I don't want to be God's enemy at all. And I feel for those who are his enemies, because they are going to receive a punishment that we can't even fathom or imagine. Now listen to this. God created us in his image and likeness. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Look at what God spoke over man. It's kind of a domination over this earth. God spoke to man that they were supposed to have dominion over everything on the earth. So it's really, really good that God is coming back to dominate this world. God spoke to man to be fruitful and multiply. These are character traits of God. God doesn't take his seed and spill it on the ground like man. Man despises children, despises family, but God doesn't. He wants family. Since we are made in the image and likeness of God, our character has to conform to God's perfect will. As for dominion, where man failed in gaining dominion, domination over the earth, God reigns supreme, and God will accomplish this domination over the earth. And that's something to be excited about and to rejoice over. God never fails, because God will remain true always. He's going to remain true to his character, true to his nature, and the things that he's promised way back before we were even thought about are coming to pass now. And when you look at some of the things that you have been prophesied to by true prophets, those things are going to come to pass. Those things are, as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, just got quickened by that. As you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, those things are going to come to pass. So you can rest assured in God's love for you. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 14 to 19. The Lord, the only Savior, is a subtitle that was in my Bible. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Cush and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. We use the more common scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Here it is in a different terminology, a different place. So everything that Egypt, everything that the world has, God has meant for us to be able to prosper, not only in our soul realm, but financially. It's going to come over to us. This is a promise. They shall walk behind you. They shall come over in chains. That sounds like they're supposed to be slaves to us. And they shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you. This is how strong the anointing is that God is going to be bringing. And there is no other. There is no other God. Verse 15. Truly you are God who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together, who are makers of idols. Verse 17. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. These are promises that God has given to us as believers, as members of the body of Christ. We are not going to be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. So think about some of the things that you're going through right now. They are bringing what you would call shame and disgrace. By the time all is said and done, God is going to wipe all of that away. And the record will be made clean. Verse 18, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God? Who formed the earth and made it? Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. There's a lot in here, but God is not hiding in the bushes saying, I'm going to bless this church. I'm going to bless the body of Christ. He's saying it boldly. He's saying it out in the open. And it's something that we can take to heart, and we can go into battle with this, knowing that our God is with us. He's for us. I love how God says that he did not create the earth in vain. I love how he says that he created the earth to be inhabited. That means he created for us to be put here so that we could subdue it and have dominion over it. We know the scriptures that says it's going to be destroyed. We know that it was destroyed with Noah and the water and the flood because of the corruption that took place. But eventually, God's going to bring us back down here again, and we're going to re-inhabit it, and we're going to live in peace forever and ever. So we have more to look forward to than the darkness that's like right in front of us right now. So don't focus on that. Focus on what God has been promising a long time, because his plan is going to remain. And when you look at things that are going on right now, you have to remember that God is not swayed or moved by these things. He's not shocked at what's going on with the sin that's going on in the world. He's not surprised by it. He knew it was going to happen. He prophesied that it was going to come. So we shouldn't be shocked or dismayed about it either. The earth was made by God for the purposes of bringing his family together. The earth is what God used to develop a people who will follow him with all of their heart. This is a part of the plan that God has created. It started with the earth and it is moving to bring us into a place of having a relationship with God. What man has failed to do in gaining dominion over the earth, God will more than accomplish because he is great. Because he is the Most High God, he is able to do what we cannot do. This should excite you on the inside, because God is greater than sin. He is greater than any enemy that would try to usurp his authority. Again, put your hope not in man, not in flesh, but in God. God doesn't mind flexing his muscles when it comes to protecting his children. When you are God's, you are surrounded in his love. And the reason why I believe that God wants us to hear this tonight is because he wants us to get a different mindset, is that we are not weak, and he is our protector. He is our defender. He is the one that we can run into when things are dark, and we don't have to muster up our own strength to defeat the enemy. We can run into him knowing that he has all power, all authority, all dominion, because he's going to dominate this world. And he's already dominated the enemy. So when you are God's, you're surrounded in his love. And I know we know this scripture, and everybody quotes it all the time, but I really want us to look at Psalms 91 tonight. Safety, the safety of abiding in the presence of God. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. It's just like we were saying in the beginning of service. We don't have to be afraid of COVID-19 or any other disease or affliction, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Verse 8. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Every one of us has made that commitment to God and made that heart commitment to be tied to him for the rest of our lives. And because we've done that, he's dwelling on the inside of us, and we're dwelling in his presence in the spirit realm in him. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you. What has God been saying? The angels are there. Use the angels. Rely upon them to do the things that they are charged with doing in this hour. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. This is talking about us. This is talking about because we've set our love upon God, he is coming in to deliver us. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Key phrases in Psalms 91 reveal how much God loves those who are leaning upon him. Because you made the Lord your dwelling place. Because you have known the Lord's name. Because you have set your love upon God. These things are constants. These things are always repeating themselves. And if you have a moment or a lapse where you change your mind, you go back to it. If you have a moment or lapse where you're questioning, you know, what you really made the decision to serve the Lord for, you go back to it. It's a set thing that you've done. And God sees that and he honors that. And the biggest thing is that God understands that we're going to have moments of waywardness. And I'm not saying sin, but we're going to have moments where things are really hard. He's not looking at us, judging us, saying, okay, you gave up on me, so I'm just kicking you out. No, he understands that because we're human, we're frail, and he knows our frame. And Jesus went through the very same things that he did. And this is why it's important that we get into the cleft of the rock. This is why it's important that we get into his arms and say, God, I can't do this. That level of honesty that you have with God opens the doorway for him to step in and to take over and to do the works that needs to be done. And I know we've heard this, you know, before, but many times, you know, we've been taught, tell God how you feel, express to him what you can't do, and then step back and let him do it. Many times Pastor Barbara said, I can't love this person. I can't do this particular thing. God, you have to do it through me. And I've tried it. It works. It works so much. So when God is there and you're in that hard place, don't shrink back and don't pretend that it's not going on. You have to be open and you have to be honest with God so that he can take you and take over. We want God to have domination over our lives. You just do. That's the only way you're going to make it to the next level and to the next place in God, is for him to have domination over us. God is about domination and destroying the works of the enemy in our lives. There will be times when we see that, when we see what God is doing, but then there are times when we can't see. God is still there in those times when we can't see. Those are some of the hardest times that you will go through, but when you look back on it all, those are the times when you become the most anointed, because God's presence envelops you. God's presence takes you over, and it's not really you being anointed, but it's the presence of God inside of you that makes you stronger, and that gives you the ability to accomplish the task that he set before you. This really is all about leaning upon God in your worst times, leaning upon God, that interdependence, because he's our Father. He cares for us. And he wants us to know that he's there all the time for us. Continuing on with Isaiah 45, verse 20 to 25. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. You who have escaped from the nations, they have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who declares this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Have you ever thought about that? All of these different religions have different gods that do different things. You know, whatever they think is a god, they make it a god. But none of these little gods compare to our God. None of these little gods can do what our God can do. Our God speaks to us. Our God brings us comfort. Our God defends us. Our God is there for us all the time. Even when we're not even aware that he's there, he's there. He's ministering to us. He's making things happen behind the scenes that we don't even know about. And we all know that, you know, countless times we could have been in accidents. We could have died. We could have been identity thefted, you know, but God was there and said, nope, I'm not going to let this happen to you now. I'm not going to let this happen. He stood in. He stepped in the gap when we weren't even paying attention. And this is how good and how powerful our God is above any other God that's ever been created. He's that much stronger. Verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God. and there is no other. There's no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. It shall not return. That to me every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed, who are incensed against him. All of these people right now that are claiming that they don't want anything to do with God, that he doesn't know what he's talking about, he doesn't know what he's doing, there is coming a day when they're going to have to give an answer for what they've done. And they're going to have to repent before the Lord. And they're not going to be able to come into the kingdom because they've already made their choice. They've already made their decision to rebel. Verse 28, in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. We're going to be justified. We're going to be placed in a place of forever holy, forever righteous before the Lord. This day is coming. We're not going to have to fight the corruptions of the flesh. We're not going to have to fight the corruptions in the atmosphere ever again. That day is coming because the anointing is going to be so strong. And these people who are wanting to be corrupted are going to be separated from us forever and ever and ever. And we're going to be able to live in total, complete joy and complete peace. It's something to be excited about, and it's something to look forward to. God is good. God is so good. And the plan that he's established, it's happening. Everything is fitting step by step by step by step. It's coming in line. And I believe God wants you to see this tonight. It's coming in line. Nothing's changed from his plan. Nothing's changed from his plan for your life. God is just. God is our Savior, and there is no one like him. God needs no one else to do anything for him. Once God has set his love upon you, nothing can interfere with that. Not one thing. Nothing. You know, you think about the story, I believe it was Balaam in the Bible, when they tried to get him to curse God's people. And he said, I can't do that. There's no way in the world that I'm going to do that, because God is God. There's people who are trying to curse you, and they can't. They're saying all manner of evil about you right now. You know, they're trying to enact a level of persecution upon you, but God's standard has risen up against that and has stopped it. Can you imagine if that standard wasn't there? Yeah, it would be horrible. Absolutely horrible. When we look at Job and Jesus, we can see that God knows that we are not going to fail him. And I'm saying this because if you look at their examples, God let Job be tested. God let Jesus come here and be put on the cross. He knew they weren't going to fail. And God has that same amount of hope, that same amount of expectation for each and every one of us, that we're not going to fail him. Tap into that. Tap into that with your faith. And be in agreement with God. You don't have to be in agreement with anybody else. Be in agreement with yourself. I remember when I was single, you know, all the single people would say, well, I don't have anybody to be in agreement with. And I would tell them, why don't you be in agreement with the Holy Spirit? Stop trying to be mated up with somebody. Be in agreement with the Holy Spirit. That's the best kind of agreement that you can have, because it's not going to break. It's not going to fail. The Holy Spirit's always going to be there. Same thing with today. If you're married, both of you get in agreement with the Holy Spirit so that you can do whatever needs to be done and accomplish the works that God has called you forth to accomplish. God was so happy to tell Satan to test Job. God was happy to send Jesus to the cross because he knew that their dependence upon him would keep them. God knew that Job and Jesus' reliance was completely in him. God is in control of everything that goes on upon this earth, but not from the sense that man does not have a will. Man does have a will and the power to say yes or no to God. But this does not remove God's ability to control this earth and man. This does not remove God's sovereignty. There is a not-so-new teaching coming back into circulation in some black churches, and they are interweaving this false teaching into their messages. They are teaching people that Christianity was not the first religion, and because it was not the first religion, Christianity is wrong. They are teaching people in the church to have Christianity and chase pagan gods. They are teaching people that some of the things in the Bible were adopted from this first religion. They are right. Paganism and idolatry was the first religion because after man fell in the garden, man started trying to find a way to reconnect to God. They chose the wrong one. Paganism is not right. It's not a right gospel. It's not holy. It's not pure. And it's going to take you straight to hell. And the churches that are teaching this are taking their people to hell. And it's no wonder some of the things that are going on in churches are going on because they don't have a pure teaching, a pure gospel. We just saw it in the verses that we read that they were practicing pagan religions, which involved idolatry. They have no knowledge, the scripture said in Isaiah 45, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. These churches that are doing this are praying to a God that cannot save. Because God in his love sent Jesus to make a way for us in the wilderness, he sent Jesus to us to bring us back to him. Verse 22 of Isaiah 45 again. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed, who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. When you choose to follow the real God, you will not be ashamed. You will be justified in God. We have something very special with God having our back. Nothing that the enemy does can override God's love for us. God remains sovereign over all things. You can read the following scriptures for more support on God's sovereignty. It's Romans chapter 14, verses 11 to 12. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. This has a subtitle in my Bible called Worthy is the Lamb. Verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 in thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. This is God dominating. And all of these people that are here in Revelations that are seeing it, all of these people that are across the earth right now and across the world right now who have a heart for God, we're going to be collected together and we're going to worship God in total peace and total security. And it's happening now that God is aligning all of these things up and bringing us together. Focus on these types of things. Focus on what God is doing to fulfill his plan, because he's bringing us all together, like the prophetic word said, because he's making us a family. He's making us one. We need to see that God is winning. And we need to see how the scriptures put things in proper perspective. It's not a reality TV show. It's real life. This is about eternity. What we do now prepares us for eternity in living in the kingdom. God is looking to encourage his people with the truth. The truth reveals that his ways are perfect. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Here's our victory. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We're tying our belief with God. We're tying our belief in what God has promised us and told us is going to happen. This is our victory. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Point of clarity for us all. We are in victory. We're in victory. We have overcome the world because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Remind yourself of this. Remind yourself that you are on the winning team. We're in a process of transformation. We are being transformed out of corruption into incorruption. Closing scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. Mine had a subtitle of Our Final Victory. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In closing, the plan that God has is working. The plan that God is working involves us being changed and transformed permanently out of darkness. When this takes place, we will truly be out of the suffering. Our journey is not over. There are many more wonderful things ahead for us. I want to close with the last part of what I had heard. I have many wonderful plans for those who believe in me. I have many wonders that I am yet to reveal in the coming days ahead. I am not a ruthless ruler. I am not a tyrant. I am working many things at the same time to bring my people into the comforts that I have established for them. Remember that. My son left this earth to prepare a place for each and every one of you. Those places are just about complete. I promise you, children, that you will be well pleased with everything that I am going to provide for you in the not too distant future. Do not allow the enemy of your soul to stop you from coming forward in me. Do not allow him to persuade you to quit. I am the victor here, and because you serve me, I am extending that victory into your camps on this day. I want you to see deep into the spirit realm. I want you to understand that I have been working for a very long time, to bring all of my peoples into eternity with me, my son Jesus, and my Holy Spirit. You cannot yet understand the fellowship and the intimacy that I have planned out for each and every one of you. Every detail has been included in the preparations, and I have not missed one thing. We're going to have a glorious time in eternity, and children, you will fully understand my plan for your lives. The battle that is ahead is going to be fierce. I will not lie to you. You must know that you were handpicked by my son for this hour, and I trust my son just like he trusts me. This hour that you're in is going to be filled with many challenges, but my heart is connected to your heart, and we will go through every one of those challenges together. Do not be dismayed at what you're seeing, what you see going on around about you. There will be more tragedies and more sorrows to come upon this world, but I have set these things in motion to bring about the end of this age and the beginning of a new one. This new age that is coming will be filled with peace, and I promise you no more wars, no more suffering. This harvest that I am bringing in through you will love me and will be a family like none other. God wants you to know tonight that time is marching on and things are moving in his kingdom. You are going to be a part of that. You are going to be fulfilled in every way that you possibly could imagine. Continue to hold on. Continue to trust him. Continue to believe him. Father, we just thank you for this word that you sowed into the hearts of your people tonight. We thank you that you are strong, you are mighty than any devil that we have to face. We thank you that you have all power inside of you. And Father, as we yield ourselves unto you tonight, we just thank you for being who you are. We thank you for picking us, handpicking each and every one of us to come before you and to work for you in this season. And Father, we pray that you give us more wisdom, discernment, and understanding in this hour of who you really are. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the altar's open tonight to receive more of God, more of God's discernment, his understanding, and his wisdom. If you want to have that, the altar's open for you to come and to receive of him.